Hello. This story is the only remaining record of our existence and the events which led us into obscurity. Everything else has been scrubbed from time. Makeshift Stories 129, Series Chapter 10, Coup d'etat.
Everything across the radio spectrum appeared to stop immediately after the transfer, sir.
The recently appointed head of technology reclamation explained nervously, looking to her staff for support. They were huddled behind their workstations, trying to hide. Galen's fur began to bristle. He had heard this excuse for failure before from the other three former directors who were now mining ice on the surface. An awkward silence descended on the stuffy lab, buried deep below Ceres' surface, until Galen finally broke it.
"And that's all you've got? From all this?"
He swept a paw around the cramped space.
"As you are aware, we've redirected critical resources to enhance your receivers. We rebuilt these at great expense with the new transistors, giving you tenfold the reception sensitivity. Now you've got the gall to tell me you can't even find one lousy radio signal from a planet that used to generate thousands of them?"
The director looked back at her staff again and regained her confidence, defiantly puffing herself up, a dangerously risky stance if you had nothing to back it up.
"With all due respect, sir, you need to let me complete my report. I said appeared to stop. But in fact, with the enhanced receiver, we've been able to pick up a few new signals. They're just, well, very, very faint and different. They're weaker and high frequency, and the content is subtly different, too."
"What do you mean?"
"It's hard to explain, sir. Some things are the same. Fast food ads, clothing styles, names of stuff. Other things are completely different, like the content of talk radio and politics, especially politics. No one is talking about nation states."
"What's that supposed to mean? Did he succeed or fail? That's the question you have been tasked to answer. Do I need to assign someone?"
"No need, sir."
The director cut in, taking a chance.
"We all agree."
She nodded at her staff, who had somehow managed to cluster into a ball of fur, making it hard to tell who is who.
I mean, we've all come to the same conclusion. Their history has been changed. With the new receivers and transmitters..."
She paused to collect her thoughts.
"Well, what I want to say is that we should try and contact him. He's obviously there. Why else would this have happened?"
"Do you see a rescue ship in orbit? Do you, Director? Or a wormhole, or even a lousy radio signal directed at us?" "Not even a peep. Wasn't our great leader,"
Galen spat the words out in disgust,
"supposed to advance the third planet's technological development so they could get us off this ice ball? Instead, it appears that they can't even make a decent radio transmitter. I'd say that classifies our great leader's mission as a failure. Well, Director, would you agree?"
Galen's fur was standing erect with rage. The Director of Technology Reclamation instinctively tried to push her head down into her shoulders and meekly nodded.
"And would you agree that there is now no way for Amos to return?"
"Unless we can rebuild the alien transmutation device. Sir, we're looking at that right now. We're thoroughly exploring all the options."
The director squeaked nervously.
"Would you know how to use it, even in the unlikely event that you can fix it?"
Galen challenged.
"You have the knowledge, sir."
"Did."
Galen looked at the director's name tag and stepped menacingly toward her.
"Director Bella, the illusion is gone. Remember, along with its knowledge, put it together. We don't have a clue how to use it, do we? Now, enough pointless discussion. We're wasting time. If you can all agree the mission failed and Amos is trapped, then we can move on. Merritt, did you record their agreement?"
"Yes, sir."
A wiry Triffle with a clipboard dutifully nodded.
"I've recorded their statement. The former CEO did not achieve the mission's primary goal and is considered lost in action. That's what the record will show."
Any objections?
Galen thundered. No one dared to move, even a hair.
Good. Then we're done here. Merritt, tell operations they can start dismantling the lab and antenna array.
Galen rubbed his paws.
But...
Director Bella began to protest. Galen held up a paw, claws out.
We're finished here. The mission is a wash. We need the parts from this installation for an important new initiative I'm going to announce after my appointment. Priorities have changed, Director. Would anyone like to object?
It would also ensure that technology reclamation could never succeed in contacting Amos, Galen mused, even if the former CEO somehow finally sent a signal.
As long as your group gets behind the new project, there'll be plenty of work for you. There's a board meeting in 500 heartbeats, and now that you've agreed Amos will not be coming back to save us, they'll appoint me CEO. Let's go, Merritt.
Galen and his assistant left smiling. Once in the hall out of earshot, Galen added,
Merritt, assign the whole lot to surface labor on the pole starting tomorrow.
Several hundred heartbeats later.
Are you sure Amos' mission is a failure?
Namor, the board chair, questioned for the 10th time.
Yes, it's in the report.
Galen said through gritted teeth, making a note to replace the entire board with his own supporters as soon as the stubborn group acquiesced to his will.
Do you want me to bring the whole technology group up here? They've already signed off on this. It's in the report.
Galen bristled, almost losing control, then brushed his fur down before any of the useless group noticed they were getting to him. He knew that great leaders should never let the peons ruffle them. He just needed them to make one more decision, then they would have fulfilled their purpose and he would be done with the idiots.
We could wait a bit longer, another member ventured. There still may be a chance.
A chance? What kind of chance? He had almost 70 orbits of the third planet to put together a rescue. All he's done is mess up technological development there. It'll take decades for them to catch up to where they were before the transmutation. Let's be realistic. The great Amos has failed. Period.
Galen noticed nods around the table. Only two of Amos' closest cronies were still holding out.
Let's vote,
he demanded, suddenly slapping a paw down on the table, causing everyone to jump.
All in favor?
Galen kept the inauguration event small, involving only half the population, then dismissed the board permanently.
No one is going to challenge me, Merritt.
His aide nodded in silent agreement. They were sitting in the executive office at the top of the administration tower, which held up the roof of the immense cavern that the Triffle had painstakingly carved out beneath the crust of the planetoid. Galen got up, strolled over to the ceiling-to-floor windows, and looked out over the low gray industrial buildings that were crammed into every available inch of space.
I know how to get off this rock, Merritt, and sooner than you think. I have the control now I need to succeed. Amos was too soft. He didn't have the ideas, the big vision or will, but I do. I need to make the announcement soon so we can get going. Merritt, make the arrangements.
Merritt quickly left the big office, leaving Galen at the windows, admiring his reflection in the glass. Not bad, he thought, but he'd need to pay more attention to his appearance now that he was the CEO. Maybe some elevator shoes. A little more height would make him more imposing. Yes, more height. He'd get Merritt to discreetly arrange it. Merritt had ensured that every radio on Ceres was tuned to the CEO's announcement. Additionally, he had handpicked a live audience of Galen's strongest supporters and coached them on when to applaud. Galen entered the central dining hall, where an elevated stage had been hastily constructed, and carefully climbed the stairs. He was not quite used to his new shoes. The crowd rustled their fur enthusiastically as Galen walked over to the podium and waited for his audience to settle. Merritt let the applause carry on for several dozen heartbeats, then cued them to be quiet. For the first time since their exile began, work all over the tiny world stopped.
Fellow Triffle,
Galen's voice echoed through every space.
We were exiled to this ice ball against our will. Our great works erased, our people humiliated and thrown back into the Stone Age. We fought and scratched our way back, and will return and exceed our past accomplishments. Our former leader has squandered what appeared to be our best chance to get off this rock. His mission is a failure, and I know how low our spirits have fallen with this realization.
Merritt signaled the audience to murmur in agreement.
But we do not need to give up hope, and this failure may ultimately lead to our success. It has taught me not to rely on alien technology and knowledge. We have all we need right here to gain our freedom. We don't have to wait to climb back up the technological ladder as our former CEO mistakenly believed. We don't need to build spaceships or have others build them for us. We are on a spaceship, this tiny world.
Galen paused for the audience's scripted reaction. Theatrics were important, and the last part of his message needed to be right on the mark.
We have all we need. There is enough water ice to create immense amounts of propellant, enough to move the entire planetoid. We don't need more technology to do this, just trifle ingenuity and hard work, which we have a wealth of. We'll split the water into hydrogen and oxygen. We can already do this. We'll turn the crater at the pole into a giant nozzle, which only requires hard work. We'll turn this ice ball into a GCR, a giant chemical rocket, and head for the third planet. And no one will be able to stop us.
He paused to let his words sink in.
Plans and orders have already been distributed. Fellow Triffles, there is nothing we cannot do under good leadership. My leadership. We will take the third planet, then go after our captors. The Illusion. We are Triffle, and we can do anything. We are in control of our destiny.
A roar so loud that it could even be heard in the extremely thin atmosphere resonated around the tiny dwarf world, except for one Triffle. Merritt watched silently from the back of the podium, thinking.
You have been listening to Ceres, a Makeshift Stories production. Ceres is released once a month between the 1st and the 7th. The story is written by Alan V. Hare and read by Mitchell Tu. Opening and closing music by David H. If you'd like to connect with us, please send an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. You can help us out by writing a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or any of your favorite podcast services. Ceres and Makeshift Stories are released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means that you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us, and don't alter anything.
Thanks for listening to our new series. And please come back between the 15th and the 20th for Makeshift Stories regular podcast, somewhere, sometime.